All right. While they're finishing back there, real quick, setting up the projector, if you want to turn to Joshua, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1 for most of this. And before we get started, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time to gather around and look at your word, Lord. We just pray and ask that you just hide me behind your word. Lord, help me to just honor you in all that we say and do today, Lord, and we just pray that it would be profitable for everyone here. And all this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Do I sound okay if I step away? Okay. Now, I wasn't sure if I had this in the right place. That's why I asked. And grace to go on. Joshua chapter 1. Okay. So, like I teach Transformers class, I don't know if all of you know, but I teach the Transformers class on Sunday evenings for 1st through 6th grade. I give the lesson to them. And generally the kids back there, if some of them, they'd probably fall asleep if I wasn't particularly energetic and get right in their face and be like, "Isn't this exciting?" But, so, today... Super, thank you. And I've never used the tablet before, so I don't know how it works. So we'll see. This is just going to be a fun experiment. So the Transformers class I teach, it's kind of interactive. Like, I ask questions, and I expect answers. And I'm going to do the same thing to you guys today. If I say, "What color is the sky?" and somebody says, "Jesus," I'm going to say, "Wrong!" You know, because that's just wrong. The color of the sky is not Jesus. But a lot of times, that's the kind of answer I'll get in that class, because everybody knows Jesus is the right answer, but it's not always the right answer. You got to listen to the question. Anyway. But today, I'm also not really a conventional Sunday school teacher. I haven't taught in front of the main auditorium in a long time. And I don't really want to stand up here and lecture you guys for 40 minutes or whatever it is. I want this to be like a discussion almost, because I'm not really the lecture type per se. One of my good friends here is Paul Becker. And I love Paul. He's a great guy. And he was over at my house the other day, and we were digging a trench. This is totally off topic, but kind of on topic a little bit. He came over to help me dig a trench because I was burying some pipes so that we can get the water away from the foundation of my house. Super exciting. Lots of fun with a shovel and with an axe picking at the ground. Good times. But one of the things he said, which I thought was really interesting, he says, "You know, Brother Doug, one of the things I really love about hanging out with you is I can tell you anything. And I know you're not going to get mad. We can just talk about it. It doesn't matter what I say. I can say anything. And you're not going to get mad. We'll just talk about it." And that's kind of how I want today to be. I want each of you to just... You're my good friend today, and we're just talking. Okay? And this is what I learned today. Well, not today. I started writing the lesson on Tuesday and then went, "Huh?" And then started working it again on Wednesday and Thursday and went... and then went Friday or Saturday. I spent a lot of time on it. And I think I finally got the lesson down to what I think the Lord wants me to present. But again, we're just talking today, and it's okay to talk. So Joshua chapter 1, and just like in Transformers, I put virtually all of the Bible verses that we're going to look at, I put them up on the slide because I want the kids to see them. And I tell the kids this pretty frequently, but it doesn't matter what I think. What I think doesn't mean... who cares what I think? The only thing that really matters is, what did God say? Right? And are you hearing a little echo in this? Because I am. So anyway, I put all this stuff up here because I want you guys to be able to see it. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm trying to say something the Bible doesn't say. And if I have an opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. I may not be able to back it up from Scripture, but generally if I have an opinion on something, it's at least founded in the Bible somewhere. Sometimes it's not, like if we're talking about nuclear physics, but that's okay. So anyway, Joshua chapter 1. Can anybody even read that? Okay, good, because I can't see that back there at all. I got to get my glasses changed. All right, Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and I found this really interesting, because I went back and I looked through several prior books. This is the first time that the Lord spake unto Joshua. I didn't find that before here anywhere. Before here, the Lord spake to Moses, and Joshua was sometimes very close. This is the first time the Lord actually spoke to Joshua. Can you imagine that day, the first time God talks to you audibly? Wow. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Excuse me. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. While God did say that to Moses, this promise goes back a lot further than that. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 15 when God gave the promised land, the promise of the promised land to Abraham. This goes back a long time. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Push the button. And there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Almost everything in that passage is God talking to Joshua. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have God talk to me and say some of these things. This is really interesting when you really sit down and think about it. Okay? Now, because I'm a nerd, I like to try and get a visual of what's going on. So, in Joshua 1:4, it talks from this wilderness and unto Lebanon. They started over here someplace in the wilderness of Arabia, and they're coming over against... Gosh, I can't even see that. They're coming over this way to take the promised land. Okay? And then this kind of goes through. This is where they eventually go, up into here. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 15, and you don't have to turn to it, the Lord talks about how it goes from the great river of Egypt all the way up through the land of the Hittites. You see the Hittites way up at the top, and this Lebanon he talks about all the way to the great river Euphrates. And I don't even have a stick. I need a stick to get way up there because it's up about the ceiling is where the river Euphrates would be. So the promised land is going to run from the ceiling, and I've seen a couple of different places where this is called the river of Egypt. But I've also seen where the Nile is called the River of Egypt, so I'm not entirely sure, and I didn't research this to any great extent. Somewhere between here and here is going to be the end of the Promised Land that way, and then all the way to the Mediterranean Sea or the Great Sea. So, I'm kind of a nerd. I like to see things like that. I think it helps just to give you a visual of what's going on. So I included that. I thought it was interesting. So anyway, as we look at what was said, what God said, it's very clear God had a plan for Joshua's life, did he not? It was very clear. God also has a plan for your life. Okay? God has a plan for everything. And I was thinking about this morning as I was driving to Home Depot to pick up parts that I ordered last week. God's had a plan for everyone's life for all time. Because if you think about it, God talks about how before the foundation of the world, His Word was settled forever, and He knows the beginning from the end. He knows about every single person here. He knew about everybody that was ever going to get saved. He has a plan for everybody. God clearly had a plan for Joshua's life, and we're going to see that a little bit more in a minute. God has a plan for your life, too. God speaks plainly to Joshua. And we just read all these verses in Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. It's all over the place. God's telling Joshua, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go across the Jordan. You're going to conquer the land. You're going to divide the land for an inheritance. This is what you're going to do. I wish God would talk to me like that. I much prefer to have real clear direction as opposed to trying to figure it out. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. But God also talks to Joshua in chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. And I'll just kind of read through these for you so you can see it. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. They're going to stand still in the middle of the river. That doesn't happen very often. But God's clearly telling Joshua, this is what you're going to do. You're going to tell the priests to do this. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and it says, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, how direct is this command? I mean, think about it. God's telling Joshua exactly what he's to do. Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. That's some pretty specific direction. Joshua chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that they bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. God's giving really detailed, really explicit instructions to Joshua, saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. And there was many other times that God spoke to Joshua throughout the book of Joshua. I thought that was really interesting. This is where I start to struggle. And I'll just tell you this just point blank because we're just talking as friends. Okay? Does God speak plainly with you like He did with Joshua? Has He told you, I want you to go to Home Depot and pick up that part that you ordered last week and bring it with you to church so you're ready to start working as soon as you get done with church today? God's never said anything like that to me, but the commands that God gave to Joshua were extremely clear. God doesn't speak to you or me like that. And I find that harder. But that's just me. Which do you think requires more faith? Does it require more faith for when God talked to Joshua and said, pick you out a man out of every tribe, tell him to go back into the river and grab a stone from where the priests are standing and bring it with you, and where you're lodged, you're going to make a little thing right here with these stones as a memorial. Is that harder to do? Or does that require more faith than trying to figure out what God's will is for your life? We know that God has a plan for your life. But I think what Joshua had was easier to follow than what we have. Okay? And this is just what I think. You may think differently, and that's totally fine. I'm not going to get mad, am I, Paul? Okay? The Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall, but then shall I know even as I am also known." That's a really interesting verse. What does the word darkly mean? And this is, again, we're talking, so I expect somebody to answer, or I'll pick on somebody, and it's too bad Vicki Gassler's not here, because I love picking on her. But what does the word darkly mean? Yes, that's very good. Does anybody else have a thought? That's very good, too. This is what Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary said, and that's the dictionary that kind of defines Bible terms the Bible way. It says, obscurely, dimly, blindly, with imperfect light, clearness, or knowledge. That's God's plan for my life. Because I can't see it like Joshua saw it. Joshua got super clear commands. And several other people in the Bible did too. But I don't get those. I see through this glass darkly, with very imperfect knowledge, very imperfect. I find it much harder to live by faith than Joshua had living by sight. Because God's telling him, do this. Did Pastor, when 15 some odd years ago, did God say, Dennis White, I want you to go to the backside of the desert in Ohio and some wasteland called North Ridgeville, and build a church there, now, go. Oh, by the way, the building you're looking for is right behind you. Turn around. Some of you will know that story. Some of you might not. That's okay. But God didn't talk with Pastor like that. Pastor had to step out on faith. I personally would much rather have God say, go do this, than try and figure out what God's will is for my life, because I see through that glass darkly. This, I think, is much harder. Okay? That's just me. I could be wrong. And I'm okay with being wrong. So, Joshua got really clear instructions, and we don't. We see through that glass darkly. And as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking to myself, how much faith... Jesus talked about, you know, if you have the faith of a... Let's just look at it. Whoops. Jesus said, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. When was the last time you saw anybody pray and a mountain moved? Do any of us have that much faith? I clearly don't. Because there's no way. I wouldn't even think to ask that. I'm just not. That's way beyond. And just a side little note, what does this little dot, dot, dot here mean? And I tell this to my kids in Transformers. I just want to make sure that everybody here understands. Yes, there's more to this Bible verse, but this is the part of it that I really want you to focus on. Okay? This is the important piece of the Bible verse. And I would absolutely encourage all of you, go back, read the entire chapter. Don't take my word for it. Because what I think doesn't matter, what God says matters, right? Right? We got a little better. If I was in Transformers, I'd have amped that up a little more. Now, again, because I'm a nerd and I like to have a visual, this is the penny. It's a Canadian penny, but I think Canadian pennies and U.S. pennies are about the exact same size. And that's a grain of mustard seed. A grain of mustard seed is not very big. But none of us, not one of us, have even that much faith. I found that interesting. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. It doesn't really seem like that's that much faith. What's that? What is it? Oh, you have a grain of mustard seed. Wow, that's really little. Now, I'm absolutely sure that nobody's going to be able to see this, but this little speck in the middle of this is an actual mustard seed. That's not very big. It's up to my eye. Okay. So, super little thing. Let me give this back to you before I forget. That's really cool. But anyway, going on. So, God spoke to Joshua audibly and said, go do this or go do that. How does God talk to us? Again, this is a discussion. I want some feedback. You're absolutely right. God talks to us through His Word. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do we learn about Jesus? We spend time in the Bible reading His Word. That's how God talks to us. We can talk to God through prayer. God talks to us through His Word. But again, we're still seeing through that glass darkly. It's a lot harder to see sometimes. There's a lot of principles that are taught in the Bible, but how does that apply to my life specifically? It's harder to figure out what God's plan is for my life, but God clearly has a plan. The next major point that I wanted to talk about. First, God had a plan for Joshua's life. God has a plan for your life. God will be with you. Clearly, He was with Joshua, right? He's talking to Joshua. God will be with you. Well, God was with Joshua. Was God with Joshua? Yes, very good. Okay? Joshua 1:5 again says, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's pretty clear instruction that God was going to be with Joshua. We need to know that too. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou doubt, be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Very clear, God's with Joshua. Joshua 3:7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. It's very clear that God was with Joshua. Will God be with you? That's the next question. And the answer is yes. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you for how long?
Forever.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you. and shall be in you. Is God with us? From the moment of salvation, He's with us. Jesus continued and said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Is Jesus with us? Absolutely, clearly He is. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And then this I thought was super interesting, skipping what Judas says, because I don't really care what Judas said. If a man love me, who's a man? It's not Jesus. If Jesus said, if a man love me, who's a man? It's anybody. It's just like John 3:16. Whosoever. Who's whosoever? It's anybody. Anybody can get saved. If anybody love me, he will keep my words and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Is God with us? God is with us. He's with us every day of our life. He has a plan for our lives. It's just harder for us to see. Another time where Jesus is making it very clear that he is with us. It says, and Jesus came unto them in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now, it's really clear that he was talking to the disciples, but were the disciples going to last? Were they going to live until the end of the world? No, they were all going to be dead within about 50 years of this point in time. Jesus is talking to all Christians here. Lo, I am with you alway. Alway doesn't end 50 years from then. Alway goes to the end of time. And beyond that, into eternity, Jesus is going to be with us alway. Okay? This I find comforting. Even though I'm looking through that glass darkly, trying to figure out what God's will is for my life, I know God's with me. This is super important stuff. Because God is with us, we can be strong and of good courage. Now again, we're still looking through that glass darkly, and sometimes it's difficult to figure out what God's will is for our life, but we can absolutely know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that God is with us. And if God is with us, we can be strong and of good courage. God was with Joshua and told him to be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Was God with Joshua? Yes. Did God tell Joshua to be strong and of good courage? Yes. Can we be strong and of good courage? Yes. Because God's with us. We just looked at that. Because God is with us, we can be strong and of good courage. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 13, again, the dot, 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 mean there's a little bit more to that verse, but this is what I wanted you to focus on. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, speaking of Jesus, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Has anybody ever looked at Fox's Book of the Martyrs and the horrible things that have happened to people that have believed in Christ in the past? Where are they now? They're in heaven with Jesus. They kept the faith. They ran their course. They were not afraid what man could do unto them. Years ago, I retyped up a thing on Polycarp, and I had it hanging in the old church building years ago. I don't remember all the stuff that it exactly said, and I don't even think I have that computer anymore. But I still have Fox's Book of the Martyrs, and I can go back to it. And basically, just kind of paraphrasing it, the Roman legions came to him and said, you know, we want you to denounce Christ and say, you know, Caesar is God, because that's kind of what they thought. And Polycarp, and they loved Polycarp because Polycarp was such a great man. He was a good man. He was gentle. He loved people. He'd helped many of these people in the Roman army, I would assume. And he was in his 80s at this point in time. And Polycarp says, no, I'm not going to do that. God has been with me all this time. Why would I do something like that? And the Romans said, okay, well, just say away with these heathen. And they pointed at some other Christians and like they would kill them instead. And Polycarp looked at them and pointed at the Roman soldiers and said, away with the heathen. They burned him to the stake a few minutes later. Where's Polycarp now? He's with God in heaven, because God is with him always. We, because we know God is with us, we can be strong and of good courage also. I'm running a little bit early, but that's okay. Pastor might have some filler. That's a joke that goes back to the first Sunday school class that I taught, where I ended about 8 minutes early. And I'm like, Pastor, you got any filler? But in conclusion, if we think about what we learned today, God clearly had a plan for Joshua's life. And God gave some very, very specific, clear instructions to Joshua. Go do this. Once you're done with this, now I want you to go do this. Now go do this. It was very clear. God has a plan for your life too. But we see through that glass darkly. It's a lot harder for us to see what God's plan is for our lives. At least that's my opinion. And if you have a different opinion, that's totally fine. Everybody's got a couple of opinions, and usually they stink. God will be with you. God is with you. There's no question about that. The Bible's very clear about that. And because God is with us, we, just like Joshua, can be strong and of good courage. Does anybody have any questions about that? Does that make sense? This is something I do with the Transformers class all the time, too. This is how I end Transformers. Does anybody have any questions? Did that make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Sometimes they have questions, and that's okay. They're kids. Kids don't know anything. Nobody's born knowing anything. It's okay to not know. Did it make sense? All right. Pastor, did you have anything you wanted to say? All right. Well, I'm going to get you out about 5 minutes earlier than normal. Yes, we should probably pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we thank you.